that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak, as they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, that will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
To the remnant. It's a Saturday morning here at the Radio Ranch, and we're coming to you live this 24th day, just a couple days after Thanksgiving, 2018, November 24th, 2018, and we welcome you here. We'll bring the men on. Good morning, Brother Jason.
Good morning.
And good morning, John.
Good morning.
We say good morning to you, the remnant. We welcome you here. We say, good morning, Holy Spirit. You are welcome. We welcome you here in our hearts, in our homes, here at the Radio Ranch, and in all that we do. And we'll have the phone lines open, and the program is Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We're here. We've got our coffee. We've got our Bibles, and, looking at what looks like it might be a snowy day today. Nothing yet. But Jason, we would ask you if you would open us up in prayer this morning, sir.
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we ask for your blessing upon this program this morning. We pray that you lead us, guide us, and direct us, Father, in the direction that we're to go. We pray that it be a blessing to you and a blow to the snakes, Father. We pray that you guide us and direct us in all that we do, that you strengthen us, and that you tend to the remnant's needs, Father. We come before you and we just lift up your people across this land, and we cry out for you to guide us and direct us, to strengthen us, encourage us, to give us wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. We ask that you pour it out upon us, Father, as we seek to you to be our God, Father. And we pray that you just continue to just do a mighty work in your people and through your people. Help them to turn from their wicked ways, turn back to you, seek your face, seek your ways, and put them first and foremost in their lives, Father. We thank you for all the many blessings that you give us each and every day, Father. We thank you for this land that you've brought our forefathers to, Father. And we thank you for what a blessing it is to us, Father, and we're grateful for it. We thank you for the trials and the tribulations that you put before us, and we just ask that you continue to see to it that our cups overflow with blessings from your throne, Father. As you bring our enemies down lower and lower, we pray that you just lift up your people higher and higher. In Jesus' holy and precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And amen. Well, Remnant, this Saturday morning we do have the phone lines open if you'd like to call in. 307-745-5913. No, we're not asking for leftover turkey recipes. I don't think we're going to go in that direction, but we do have the phone lines open. And hope you had a good and blessed Thanksgiving. Did get to correct a couple people when they called it Turkey Day and said, no, we call it Thanksgiving because we are thankful for the many blessings we have, and that's what this country was founded on. And I don't know if we offended a couple people or not, but if we did, so be it. Wasn't on purpose, but we certainly see that. Did see a small report that Rush Limbaugh and his one of his programs, I don't know what he's doing these days, but that he was reading the true Thanksgiving story and was sharing that with with his people. And so I glanced at the news report this morning just to see what what it was. And it was closer to the truth, I'll tell you that, than what you read in the modern day textbooks, you know, where the pilgrims made it through because of their strict discipline, strict military discipline. That's what got them through the starving winters and got them going here in this country. And but very few will read the Mayflower Compact, where it says, "To the glory of God and to further the Christian faith." They'll mention the Mayflower Compact, and even old Rush was saying, yeah, they wrote up a set of rules and laws they were going to follow before they even got going. And one part of his story that he certainly did have right is they tried socialism. They tried to come out and to have it where they all worked together, and all the food went into one common storehouse, and then the people took out of it as they needed, and they were supposed to work as they could. Everybody pull their own fair share, and then everybody get what they needed. And it just about killed them, and just about destroyed the founding of this nation. And it's interesting that here we are, just about 400 years later, and there's another batch of people trying to do the same thing. But the true Thanksgiving story, and I'm sure it'll be brought out tomorrow, but when I think it was an application of 2 Chronicles 7:14, when God's people humbled themselves and prayed and repented and turned from their wicked ways, then God heard and sent the rain and healed and saved his people. The true Thanksgiving story has been lost on so many. It really has. It certainly is not taught. It's not in the textbooks, in the schools, in the colleges. And we wonder why we have the mess of Black Friday yesterday. It seems like everybody. Maybe some people will be thankful on one day, but then on the next day, on yesterday, Black Friday, that most of the world now just turns out to buy, to get their deals. What a mess Black Friday was. They said they had fights in California Walmarts. We heard about the shooting down in Alabama at a mall. It is makes you shake your head and just wonder where we're at. Not really where we're headed, but where we're at.
Yeah, you can see that they've incorporated this Black Friday into ruining Thanksgiving, starting the sales in mid-afternoon.
Yes.
And forcing their people who work there to show up, a few hours early to prepare for it. And I've talked to one gentleman that worked for Walmart at one point, and he said, yeah, they pretty much ruined Thanksgiving for all the people who work for that particular company. And they're not alone, so. But why wouldn't they, you know? It's kind of interesting. I had a opportunity to speak to the men my Wednesday morning prayer breakfast, you know, and we're going through the book of Enoch too in that, and these guys are pretty excited to see some of the details, you know, that you don't get in Genesis 1:1-6.
Right.
And it's hard for a Judeo-Christian to grasp the fact that it's not all Jesus loves me, you know. There are those that come only to steal, to kill, and destroy. And those are the ones that God banned from salvation and eternal life. You know, those are the people that they cannot come to repentance, and there is no forgiveness. And the Bible and the Book of Enoch explain that in great detail, really. So what do? They do everything they can to keep God's people out of the kingdom. And what's our main purpose for being on this earth is to spread the gospel, to fulfill the Great Commission, and to bring as many people to the truth as we can to bring them into God's kingdom. And our job is to bring a lot of them out of Satan's kingdom and into God's kingdom. Those are the things that he told us we would do if we want to go under the banner of Christian, which means disciple, which is a Jedi. Do you want to be Jesus' disciple? Well, if you call yourself a Christian, then you need to understand that with great reward, eternal life, comes great responsibility. And it's our responsibility to educate ourselves.
Amen.
And to be able to share the truths that been shared with us. And not only that, it's our obligation to continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the only way you can do that is to study and to ask for the guidance of the Holy Spirit for an understanding, hearing, hearkening heart, so that you can hear ye the Lord. And that's our main purpose here on this earth.
You mean it's not to get up early or just go out on Thanksgiving afternoon and get the best deal at Walmart or a Best Buy, huh?
Nope.
Because that sure seems like that's what the big deal is, you know, and got to get them shoes, got to get them tennis shoes 25% off. And, you know, that's what happened down there in Alabama. And somebody pulls a gun. And we wonder sometimes why we have the police all over the place, why we're, you know, why these police have their riot gear and there's such a police presence everywhere, and it's because the lawlessness abounds. The Bible talks about, you know, when lawlessness abounds, the heart of man will grow cold, and we can see that being true on both sides. That the lawlessness certainly abounds, and even the lawmakers, you know, so-called elected officials that think that that's what they do, you know, they are lawless. They are lawless, and we see it in the land.
One of the most serious situations going on, I think, right now is the literal invasion.
Yes.
At the southern border, and the fact that you have a liberal abomination appointed judge that tries to temporarily overturn the orders of the President of the United States, who is the commander-in-chief, who has the authority to use the military for defense of the country, and basically...
Yeah, how does that work? I don't even understand that. How they can overthrow that when there's an act of war being, you know, coming against our country?
How does Obama do it all those years? You know?
I know.
I don't know. But the good news is there's a whole lot of patriots that are. Doesn't really matter what the country's going to do, but there's going to be a certain number of people who aren't going to let an invasion take place. Another thing that I read this morning that I thought was really interesting was the fact that people like Hillary Clinton and, you know, a bunch of people who are in the high-ranking demon rat population are saying that there's been enough refugees brought into Europe, you know, so they're defending Europe now, telling Merkel that, well, it's probably time that you start curbing, you know, the number. But they don't say a word about the U.S. because guess what? We're the next target. And when you read about the things that are going on in Sweden, I wish it was within driving distance to get to Sweden, to be honest with you. When you read about what these Muslims are, I'm not kidding, yeah, what these Muslims are doing to these white European women. And now the courts are saying that it's their fault for not wearing a burqa.
Yeah.
In a real, you know, towel or whatever, and boy, I tell you what, we're talking 6-year-old, 10-year-old girls, 14-year-old girls raped by, you know, up to 14 men for 70 hours. I mean, it's sad. The fact that, I mean, I don't know about you, but if something like that, I'd fight to the die to my last breath.
Well, see, that's that pedophilia that the filth here in this nation has been, that, and I think that's one of the reasons that the Muslim invasion is allowed and being brought in, is because, see, that pedophilia to them is just a way of life. It's just a way of life. It is no different than drinking a cup of coffee in the morning to them. That is how filthy that filthy religion of Islam is, and that's all it is. And until the people realize that, it's going to come on to them. And the people of Europe have not realized it. They have not returned to God. They have not turned back to God and prayed and asked for forgiveness. And so how many times have we read it? The locust of Joel, the invading armies that, you know, that have a language they don't understand and have that are different. And that's what this is. It is an absolute invasion, and it is massing at our southern border as well. Don't think that they're not intermixed with that. With those people as well, but that's one of the things that they bring in with them, and then we have to be, you know, we have religious freedom here, so that's part of their religion. We have to let them practice their religion on that. No.
Well, yeah. Now that the police are openly admitting that they're not even trying to stop any of that anymore. And so keep that in mind, America, when they come to get your guns, because they will try, and they are trying. In fact, they're succeeding. And I read in Oregon, there's some laws being passed locally that they are confiscating weapons. So it's a good time to be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove.
Amen.
Choose your battles carefully, which ones you fight. Don't tip your cards until the proper time.
Amen.
And... But one thing I thought was encouraging, I sent you guys the video, but there was a video that someone put together regarding President Trump and the stand that he's taken at the southern border. The fact that they've laid down miles and miles and miles of razor wire and, you know, putting up blockades. And, you know, and now apparently the military has been given the power to use lethal force against anyone that's harming Border Patrol agent or officer, which that's a positive thing. But at the end of that video, it said, "God save America." And it's like, wow. You know, you start to think, I wonder if any of that stuff that we sent to President Trump from the ministry may have taken hold. So that was encouraging to me to see that.
That was encouraging to me too, and I think that's, you know, so important right now, and you know, telling people, and I've given several people that DVD and shared that with them lately, and it's like, you know, people, the more you say that and the more you put that out there, the more it gets into the air and the more people start to believe that. Sometimes people just kind of lose hope, and it's like they just get into a slump, and you know, they get tired of hearing this, and you know, I tell them, hey, it's God's going to save America again. And, you know, I think that, I mean, and you know, it's the times that, you know, people really need to be waking up. And I think that there's a lot of people that are waking up. I know that there was a lot of people, for a lot of businesses, I think this year was, they're saying it was a good year. But I'll tell you what, I talked to just about everybody that I talked to so far for Black Friday. I asked them what they did for Black Friday, and it's like, oh, I just stayed home. I didn't want to go deal with anybody or be out in the public anymore. And it's, you know, there, it's interesting because it's like that. There, for a large part, I mean, it's, you see a separation of the groups. There's the people that are just completely drawn towards that, and then there's the people that are getting appalled from it and being pushed away from it.
Amen.
I'm not saying
it's the lottery. It's a lottery mentality. It really is.
It really is.
On the poor people. That's what it is. It's another tax on the poor people. If you have any credit left on your credit card, then you're going to be out there with all the other psychos trying to get the best deals that you can, you know, on this Black Friday, and then what, Monday will be Cyber Monday or whatever, you know. But like you said, Jason, those that have eyes to see and ears to hear are starting to wake up and see the chaos that's in the land. So that's exciting, too.
Amen.
Encouraging.
Well, and I mean, I think you're absolutely right, that mentality. 28% of the people that went out and were spending money like crazy on Black Friday this year were still in debt from the holiday season last year.
Oh, wow.
I mean, just think about that. That's over 25%. That's over a quarter of them that are still in the debt from last year's holiday season, and they're out spending money on this holiday season. I mean, that's the mentality that, I mean, that's not the mentality that you want to have. That's not the position that you want to be in. And, you know, they have all these, now they're coming out with the budget strategies and this and that. And, you know, I mean, that's insanity is what it is.
Yeah, well, you remember you used to, you know, around the end of the year, the car companies got to get rid of all their this year's models, right? So, you know, there's always the sales. And it used to be 0% financing for, you know, 36 months, you know, 3 years. Then 5 years later, it's 48 months, you know, and then 5 years later, it's 60 months. Now it's 72 and up. And they got people financing these vehicles for longer than they're going to be on the road. A lot of these junk, you know, import cars that are designed to last a certain amount of miles and fall apart. But, and then the fact that when you trade something in like that, you're so upside down that they'll just keep burying you. Before you know it, you'll owe $100,000 on a car that's worth 30 grand.
Well, there's people, yeah, that's what I've seen. I've seen a lot of it where people end up, their car breaks down or something goes out, a transmission goes out, they don't have the money to fix it, so they got to go buy a new vehicle. So they go and trade it in, which they get nothing for their vehicle, but they roll the loan over and get them into something else. Now they owe $50,000 on something that's worth $20,000 because it's happened three times in the last, you know, in their lifetime or whatever, and they just keep rolling it over and incurring more and more debt. The thing is, you know, once they get down to a credit score, I mean, there's people that are paying, they're still writing auto loans at 12%. People are going in and they're like, well, I got a good deal on the truck. But, you know, the fact of the matter is they signed a 5-year note on it and they're paying 12% interest on it. And it's like, are you insane? Do you have any idea what that's going to cost you in the time of that vehicle? And they just, I mean, they can't even comprehend that.
Yeah, and it used to be when, if you had a vehicle like that, and it was repossessed, then the debt would typically go away. It doesn't work that way anymore. They'll come take that vehicle, and you're still on the hook for that money. So unless you file bankruptcy, there's no way out of these things. You talk about enslaving our people. It used to be that they'd be enslaved at least for something tangible, like a mortgage or something, a house that has at least some chance of appreciation. But a vehicle, right, when you drive it off the lot, depending on the vehicle, you're losing 10 to 20% right there. And these people are being enslaved on things that depreciate daily.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. I mean, and it's so many people that it's like you look at them, and I've talked to them, and I'm like, can you really afford this? And they're like, oh, well, not really, but I really want it. Well, here's the deal. If you can't afford it, don't buy it. You know, and there's nothing wrong with driving something that's old And there's nothing wrong with driving something that needs some work either. And there's ways of, you know, getting it fixed and getting deals on vehicles. I mean, it's, you know, it's not rocket science, but, you know, so many people want what they can't afford. And, you know, that's greed when you have that mentality.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, folks, we have the phone lines open this morning, 307-745-5913, if you want to give a call in. And, yeah, John, you were talking about how the European nations are getting kind of fed up. And there's several nations that are joining this getting out of the UN's compact on mass migration. You know, Australia's backing out, and you know, there for a while it was just the United States under President Trump that was kind of the lone, just about the only country that didn't want to have anything to do with it. But Australian Prime Minister Scott Morris said Wednesday the agreement is inconsistent with his nation's best interests, and it said the document fails to adequately distinguish between people who enter Australia illegally and those who come to Australia the right way. And see, that's what these UN compacts do, is their purpose is to take that right away from the country, from the nation. And what is a nation but a people that have a common language and ideals and goals and land and ways, and that's what this is doing. And finally, some people are waking up. Germany is sure in a mess with that. Where that comes out, who knows? But they are. The nations are starting to, at least some of them, say, hey, wait a minute, this is not good for us, and we're not going to keep doing it. And and I think that comes from prayer, I sure hope so. I hope that's what's happening.
Part of the issue of them wanting to bring in so many illegals too is American people have reached their limit as far as the debt that they believe that they even can make the minimum payments on, you know. And so they need a new class that they can enslave. And it doesn't even matter if it's a new class that's going to work and be prosperous and be able to pay their bills, because all they need is a government to be willing to continue to go into more debt and to continue to give these people, the Democrat voting population, more free stuff. As long as the money is in the system, whether it's printed or created out of thin air like it has been for generations, it doesn't matter. As long as that money flows through the system and is able to be used for commerce, then they can continue on with the you know, Ponzi scheme that's going on in the world.
Amen.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. And they just don't get that they would... Actually, I think they do. They just won't do it. If they would cut the benefits, you cut the freebies, you cut off the food, the people, they will stop coming. But that's logical. That works. And so they're not going to do that, because that's not what their purpose is. That's not what the goal of these left-wing libtard socialists is. You know, their plan is to steal, kill, and destroy. And there is no logic behind it.
Somebody needs to do some research on what the actual process is on all of these judges, because the fact that Obamanation, he put in hundreds if not thousands of liberal judges all over the country. And I know that the Trump administration, I think that's one of the saving graces that God granted us during this last election, even though there's no doubt in my mind that there was election fraud in mass. probably just as a pre-trial for what they want to try in the next presidential election. But, I mean, as of right now, you don't hear about anybody being prosecuted for all this election fraud. But anyways, you can see that, you know, that's their plan, pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't doubt that at all. Don't doubt that at all. That's what they have, you know, our enemy thinks generationally as well, and not just, you know, they've got our people to think for the here and now. You know, like the Black Friday. Hey, it's on sale today. I've got to go do it today. And that's what they worry about today. Like you mentioned, Jason, hey, I want that truck or that big old Charger or whatever. I want it today. And that is so different from previous generations. It's sure been growing to that. But our enemy, you know, they think generationally. It's like if they, you know, their cheating didn't win at the last election, well, they'll just, you know, they start immediately planning on the next one. And if they don't get that law passed, you know, to where they have to teach the sin in the schools like they do now and indoctrinate the children in the public school system, well, if they don't get it passed this year, they'll try again in 6 months or a year. And you know, they are never satisfied. And they won't be until the destruction of this nation and of the people that founded this nation, the race, the generation that founded this nation. It really is a war.
When you see the election fraud going on, I mean, you look at, for example, Orange County, California, probably about 7/8 of that county went red in 2016, and then in 2018 for it to all go blue.
Right.
Doesn't make any sense. And then when they talk to a lot of the people who live there, they're conservatives, Christian, and they're like, there's no way that this county went blue. In fact, you know, there was races that were called with 100% of precincts reporting on election night that the Republican representative won over the Democrat, but yet 7 days later, after they find tens of thousands of provisional votes, which provisional votes should be a minor percentage.
Right.
It's really supposed to be if they go to the wrong precinct or they don't have their ID, then they have a certain amount of time to come back and to show them that they are eligible to vote. Well, if you're not confirming any of those, then that doesn't really matter. But you know, I was telling people, I think we forget, but there's a movie called The Battle of Athens in Athens, Tennessee, that's probably coming to about the time where that may have to take place again, where these World War II veterans had come home to their county, and when they had left, it was a God-fearing, conservative, you know, kind of Mayberry kind of county, and when they came back, it had been corrupted for years. There was a corrupt sheriff, and it just spread through the city council, and, you know, and there's no doubt in my mind that we have that same situation right here where we live, Jason. And
yep.
But what happened was there was an election, and these veterans decided that, you know, they wanted to make sure that the election was fair. And some of the veterans were at the polling places just to make sure that there was no shenanigans. And the sheriff's deputies came all in armed into the city hall and to take the ballot boxes, shut down the election, take the ballot boxes, take them back to the jail and count them. And one of the veterans was shot. I don't think he was killed, but anyways, they'd had enough. And a couple of them went and broke into the armory and took all of the firearms from the armory. And the next scene you see is, you know, probably 100 cars all the way around this jailhouse, which was all stone, you know, and steel. It was a set up not only to be the courthouse, but also the jail back in the day. That's the way it was. And they all had their headlights on, and they all got rifles pointed at, you know, at these guys. There's probably a dozen of them in the jailhouse, and one of them, somebody takes a shot, you know, next thing you know, all hell breaks loose, and all those 100 men shooting around the deal are firing at the jail, and they realize that, you know, they shot it up pretty good, but you're not going to shoot through stone the way some of those old masonry buildings were. And one of the guys that was a World War II veteran was a munitions expert, and he's like, well, let's blow the door, because it was all, you know, steel, iron door. And they end up blowing the door, and a couple of the snakes slither out the back, and the rest of them come out coughing, you know, with the smoke and all that, and they go in, they grab the ballot boxes, they take them to the city council and count the votes, and ends up getting rid of the corrupt sheriff and take the county back. But that's kind of what needs to happen. If you haven't seen the movie, it's worth seeing. There is a 10-minute video clip on YouTube as well. It's just called The Battle of Athens, Tennessee. And it's worth seeing, you know. There was a time in this country where people had the fortitude to, you know, you could push them so far, but once you crossed that line, then there was going to be some reaction, and it may be time to get to that point again. I don't know.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, it just might be. I mean, that's the thing, is that, you know, you got to get people enough stirred up about it, and I think that the people are getting there too. I mean, this, you know, I talked to people that were all over the place, and they said, they called me on election when the election was taking place, and they said, have you ever seen anything like it? They said people came out of the woodwork this year for these elections, and that happened all over the place, and people are realizing it, and they need to be told that, hey, they stole it, they were cheating, you know, they're liars, right? And they're cheats, and they're thieves, and they come to steal, they come to kill, they come to destroy.
Yeah, you look at our state, you know, there was all kinds of initiatives that typically a liberal Democrat would vote for, as far as raising taxes and, you know.
Well, yeah, the things that they were, all the bills and the stuff that they were supporting, it was all the Democratic stuff that normally would have passed, and none of that passed straight across the board in the whole state of Colorado.
But then we lose the whole state legislatively to demon rats, you know.
Yeah, how is that possible?
Exactly.
Yep, it's interesting.
Well, the reality is, you know, we're one election away from losing this country, because the fact that what happened in 2016 happened, they're not going to even try to pretend anymore, which is obvious when you look at the Democrat Party, how they... they're not hiding anything anymore. You know, we are socialist communists.
Right.
This is our agenda. And you get a demon rat president in there, and they're not going to hold back like they have. It won't be a slight leaning towards the left. It'll be full bore ahead. And, you know, at that point, whatever happens, happens. But. That's why God Save America CD that Dad did so long ago is so important, especially if you actually sit down and watch the whole thing, how he explains the Israel truth. It's definitely worthwhile watching, and if you're trying to reach somebody and explain to them the truth, he does a better job in that than any of us can do, that's for sure.
Amen. Amen. And we're still making those and sending them out. The God Save America Again DVD, we have them available if you'd like them, and it is something good that most people have a DVD player. You can pass that out, and it is a tool to help you, a tool to help to reach, Maybe you know, there, you have friends or family that know something's wrong, but they just haven't, you know, maybe you haven't been able to get through to them before. We've heard many good stories come from this sharing this God Save America Again DVD. But we have it available if you'd like it. We'd be glad to send it to you.
Yeah, it was interesting because, you know, one of the things, too, that's interesting, too, and, you know, right now it's like, oh, my goodness, gun prices are like an all-time low. I mean, I've seen gun prices that I haven't seen in years and years and years. And it's talking to people, and it's like, I don't know why people are always like this, and it's like, it's interesting. You know, silver prices are down, gun prices are down, and nobody's buying guns, and nobody's buying gold or silver. I mean, and it's just, that's kind of, what a
that's
lot of
better down.
Yeah, but that's the American way. I mean, it's like when you can buy an AR-15 for $600, nobody's buying them. When they're $2,000, everybody wants one, and they're sold out. It's just it's kind of ironic. But I'll tell you what, ammo prices are down. Ammo is available. You know, I don't know how long it's been going on now. I've been trying to get 22 ammo, and now that it's available, but there's really not very many people buying it. And I don't know, that's kind of
that'd
ironic.
Be a good time.
I was pretty excited, though, because I tell you what, like Bass Pro this year, number one, they had their 5 days, five days of Black Friday, Cyber Monday, whatever they call it. I don't know what they call it, but I'll tell you what, basically they had almost 5 pages of guns that were for sale, and they were stocked up and ready for it. And there's like places like Shields and Bass Pro and Cabela's, they've been selling guns like crazy, and it's kind of funny because Dick's, they had a bad year this year for Black Friday. I can't remember exactly what their percentage was down, but they're down over, they said at least 36% from last year, and they were the ones that came out and kicked all the guns out of their stores and said that they weren't going to sell any guns and that guns were evil.
Yeah.
And so I thought that was kind of interesting. So it still shows you that there's some of that pure American spirit in people that they don't appreciate that. There was a lot of people that weren't even gun people, but they just recognized that was wrong, and they weren't going to support a place that thought it was wrong for you to have a gun. And so I thought that was
cool. Well, and make their own rules.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
The federal rules that you can't own a rifle unless you're 21, and you know, but there's some legislation through some of these Democrat representatives and stuff that I think in Oregon and things like that that are basically they're saying, well, if we can't get the guns, we're going to get the ammo, and basically they want to make it where you have to pass a psychological test before you can even buy ammo. You have to go through that process every year, and all the fees associated with it go on the consumer. So,
right.
You say, when stuff is reasonable, now's the time.
Amen. Amen. Let's go to the phone lines, guys. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, Richard. This is Ken in Wisconsin.
Good morning, Ken.
And good morning. I couldn't help but sitting here thinking of what Jason said earlier about there's nothing wrong with driving an old car or this and that. Well, I've been doing this for a long time, and I had a favorite car, a 1995 Ford Escort station wagon that has hauled more than my pickup truck ever dreamt of hauling, and more economically, too. And after 17 or 18 years, I've had that car. It finally rusted out so bad here in Wisconsin that you can't, you know, it wasn't safe to drive it anymore, so I parked it, even though it was perfect mechanically. And I kept the car for a few months, and God works in strange ways. All of a sudden, my neighbor told me, you know, there's a 95 Ford Escort sitting right in town for sale that it looks pretty good. Well, I went and looked at it. Didn't have a spot of rust on it anywhere, underneath, on the sides, anywhere. Came from Nevada, and it had a wrecked front fender on it. But otherwise, the car was mint, low mileage. And the guy wanted $750 for it. I took it. And then I hit a deer with it right away. That was unfortunate. But it worked out, all things for the good, as God always provides. And I took the hood off my my rusted-out car and the left front fender, which had no rust on it either. And now I've got a perfectly brand-new 1995 Ford Escort with a white hood and a white left front fender on a gold car. But paint, a little paint will fix that up, too, and I'll have a car that will last me the rest of my life.
Right. And, Ken, it's paid for.
It's paid for.
It's paid for. And, see, that is such a foreign concept to so many today. Oh, no, I couldn't drive that, you know, says the wife. Or, oh, no, says little Bobby that's going to school or college. Or, oh, I I'd be embarrassed. I remember when I was in high school that, you know, the parking lot in high school then, and that's been 30-plus years ago, and you go up to the high school now and look in the parking lot, you won't find anything over 5 or 6 years old in the parking lot now.
Right.
And that's what the kids drive. And none of it's paid for. None of it. Well, that's a great testimony, Ken. It really is. And who cares what somebody else thinks about it? If it's paid for, that's what Jason and John started out the program with. You know, the not going in debt and being debt up over your eyeballs on trying to keep up with the Joneses and succumbing to the advertising pitfalls of being just a consumer. That's awesome,
right,
Ken.
Well, the enemy's got a plan for that too. They tried it when Obamanation was in office, called Cash for Clunkers. But I was talking to a buddy of mine that owns a repair facility here in town, very successful facility, and they do these things behind our back. But apparently, in the state of Colorado, they just passed the same emission laws as California. So here, certainly, some of the older vehicles, they're not going to pass. When you go to get your emissions test, they won't pass, and you will have to get them off the road one way or another. And that's their goal, is obviously to get as many of the so-called
paid-for vehicles.
Vehicle, which is ridiculous. So especially when you look at what enrages me is the fact that lawsuit against Volkswagen and their diesels, those Blue Tech Econo diesels, they were so amazingly clean and so amazingly efficient. And the fact that they mandated that those vehicles had to be turned into the dealer. I had a friend who had an Audi TDI, turbo diesel injected, and the car was great. He said it was the best car he ever had. Loved the car. And, got 30, 40 miles a gallon in a full-size 7-passenger SUV. And
they had a lot of power, too.
Yeah, and the dealers would give you probably 10 grand more than what it was worth based on this buyback deal. But all of those cars were sitting along a railroad yard here along the Front Range, and not one part could be taken off or sold. They were all just sent to the crusher, and it's just, it's sickening in a lot of ways.
Yeah, it's insanity. It's a fault.
One more thing.
Sure, Ken, go ahead.
Just one more little thing I'd like to add. I had to shut the sound off here while you guys were talking about the ammunition and the gun thing. I heard you on the phone for most of it, but anyway, Jason had made a statement here about, I don't know, a few months back on your program, that with ammunition so cheap, why aren't people just stocking up in anticipation of another shortage that we suffered through for 5 years with silly 22 shells? And the price of these things has fallen back to 2001 prices. And I think a lot of people are following up on it, but a lot of people just say, oh, it'll never happen again. I hear this all the time. And it's silly. But I just thought I'd throw that in, too. I'm in 100% agreement with you guys. Everything is cheap, and you buy it when it's cheap.
Amen.
Take advantage of it.
Amen.
And I'll let you guys, I'll get off the phone now and listen again. And you guys have a great day. Thank you.
Thanks, Ken.
God bless, Ken.
You too. God bless.
God bless you too. Bye-bye.
Amen. God's got his remnant all over. All over. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And, you know, even when you read through the Bible, it's not that, you know, the Judeos put out that everybody's going to be saved. Oh, everybody, it just, you know, everybody's going to come to the saving grace, blah, 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 blah. You know, Romans 9 says in verse 27, and it's quoting Isaiah, though the number of the sons of Israel be like the sand of the sea, it is the remnant that will be saved. For the Lord will execute his word on the earth thoroughly and quickly. And just as Isaiah foretold, unless the Lord of Sabbath had left us a posterity, we would have become like Sodom and have resembled Gomorrah. And there are still, there is, thank God, that remnant out there. It reminds me of the words of Christ when he said, not all that say, Lord, Lord, will be saved. But those that practice lawlessness will not. They will be cast out, is kind of the summary of that. But the remnant will be saved. Guys, we got time, I think, for one more quick call. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Yeah, good morning, Richard. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Joe.
Well, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Thank him for everything.
Amen.
You were mentioning Limbaugh here in the beginning of the show, I think, and I came in a little bit late, so I missed most of it. But I don't know if any of you guys or anybody that's listening actually pay attention to this guy. Sometimes I am forced to, just out of sheer boredom, when I go down the road. FM reception is almost non-existent up here in the hills. But AM comes in good, so there's a local AM station that has him on there in the afternoon day, during the day. And he is known as someone who is against conspiracy theories, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
But I have heard him twice mention on his radio program that he can't help but think that there's a small group of people behind closed doors running things. So that's hypocrisy number one. Hypocrisy number two is that he is ostensibly an author of children's books, and he infrequently, not all the time, but infrequently, he has teenagers and other non-adults call in, and they get free books. You know, he'll throw a bone to somebody every now and then. But years and years ago, I remember back when I lived in New Jersey, he was pretty big back then. He had a woman call in and tell him that he was such a moral man, and he cut her off. Like he does everybody else, and says, no, I'm not moral. I'm not a moral man. And that, together with some of the language and innuendos that he pushes on his program, leads me to really believe that you should not allow your children to. I mean, I wouldn't even patronize his books.
No, I think he's definitely one of them. He works on their side. I just thought it was interesting. I'd mentioned that he was going to talk about the true Thanksgiving story, and he put a few truths out. Mainly that it was the Pilgrims tried socialism, it didn't work. When they went to capitalism, it did. So, well, Joe, good talking to you. Thanks for the call. We're wrapping up this morning. You have a blessed day. Well, men, we got a couple minutes left here, but that's about it. If you have any. Any closing comments? I did have we were in town on Thanksgiving, helping out up at the senior center a little bit, and there was a young lady there, seventh grade, and I asked her, I said, do you know us? You know, thanked her for coming up and helping out, and there were several people around, and I asked her, I said, do you know the true Thanksgiving story? You know, do you know what really happened way back there in the Pilgrim and Indian days? And she just kind of looked at me and said no. And And I took just a quick minute to kind of run a couple things by her there and let her know that. And there were a couple, there were some older people there. It was a senior center. And they were like, yeah, I've heard that. And yeah, really. And she'd never heard it. Never heard it. And it is such a great story. It really is. It's outlined in the book, The Light and the Glory. We have that. We carry that here. It really is it's part of our history. But you know, it's been almost 400 years, and it's been all but completely wiped out of the people's mind, the people's of our history. Well, John, anything?
A lot of background noise somewhere over there.
Yeah, it's not here. Maybe one of them big old dogs jumping up. But well, Remnant, we thank you for tuning in and joining us. We hope you did have a blessed Thanksgiving. We hope you remember to be thankful, to give thanks to God, because it is God Himself that that formed this nation. You hear it many times that that there's a new Jerusalem the Bible talks about. And it's not that in that old sandbox across the sea. It's not. It is a land of unwalled villages with an eastern sea and a western sea, where He took one from a city and two from a town and planted in His new Zion, this new J-E-R, U-S-A-L-E-M. And that is what we live in today. And with that, with that understanding that you get, as was mentioned before, from the God Save America DVD, comes great responsibility that we have to get this message out. We have to get this truth out to the people, to the remnant, that saving grace of Jesus Christ, of who we are and what we are to be doing. Not just believing like the demons, but being doers of the word. Well, men, thanks again. Guys, we want to invite you to church tomorrow, Remnant. We're going to be there, good Lord willing, 8:30 Mountain Time, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern, and we'll get it started out. We'll have a great live message for you, a timeless pulpit truth, communion, hopefully some current events, a little bit of everything. And so we encourage you to come and join us at church and not forsake the assembly, and take time to praise and glorify the King of Kings, our Lord and Savior. Well, men, thanks for joining us. And, hey, we'll see you at church in the morning.
Rolling, 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 shake high. This country's stolen. Keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and free together, make them health and forever. Knowing the King is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off, snake high.
They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating. Our King will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride. They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.